I mean, I know this podcast is basic. It's for and about stories, so.
It's not for and about stories. It's usually about a topic. I wanted to talk to you about your drinking, but I don't know if you've been done
You're like the deep. You're like the deep guy. I want to talk about Comedy Underground, and thank you all for doing it.
Each one of you were on
different episodes, so that's kind of cool.
Is it getting ratings? How's it doing?
Yeah, how is it doing?
Ratings, that's an old man stuff. Tweets and page views. I'm a loser, and I lost someone who means to me. I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be.
Hello from Minnesota, everyone. Hi, how you doing? Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. I'm Ari Shaffir, and I'm coming to you live from an Airbnb. I decided not to stay at the hotel in Minneapolis at the Mall of America, because how much Mall of America can one person stand? That place seems like it's just a dead mall. Club is all right. Club is good. But the mall itself is like... Oh, who's here? No one's here. No one who's anyone is here. Anyway, so what I did is I got an Airbnb, and I am staying at this place. The backyard is on a lake. It's rural. It's fucking desolate. Nothing's around here. I went canoeing today. I went goddamn canoeing. This is what I do with my merch money, everybody. So if you come to one of the live shows and buy merch, it goes towards shit like this. I went canoeing. Took my shirt off, obviously, went canoeing, saw some people in life jackets, and I'm like, life jackets, what are they? And I'm like, oh, I'm smoking pot on a canoe. I don't know how to boat. I think I remember how to swim, but I was fine, regardless. You guys, before I get started too much, I don't have any big dates to say, so I'm just going to say this. Sam Tripoli is a hilarious comedian. He was someone I have always looked up to, comedically. Not, you know, racially. Because who would want to be Armenian? You guys, when I got to the Comedy Store, he was just like getting in there. I remember this waitress, Lauren Peltz. She was like, they were like flirting with each other, but like that mean flirting that people do. And then he walked away and she goes, God, I want to fuck him. And I was like, wow. But he would do this bit about a handicapped stripper and a... I hear noises out here. I'm on the back porch. I mean, literally, the backyard is like some grass and then water. Its own private. Oh, this place is amazing. Also, thank you in Minnesota to everyone who came out, especially Thursday, who gave me tons of weed on Thursday. I maybe not need any more for the rest of the week. It was perfect out here. If I had gotten mushrooms, I probably would have done those. Today or maybe tonight. Actually, it's warm. It finally got warm. The first 2 days were cold, and now it's fucking beautiful. It's 72, 73 out here. Oh, I gotta do this Airbnb more often. I found an apartment in New York, you guys, just so you know. So anyway, back to Sam Tripoli. This joke about handicapped strippers, and it was like he was my version of like, look, I don't go to strip clubs. I didn't at the time, and you know what, since then I don't really like him either. But Sam Tripoli to me, read as a guy who had been to strip clubs, and I wanted to have his version of it. You understand? Like, comedically, artistically, I want to hear someone who's been through it do their version of it, comedically. And he did that. And he's always been someone who'd come up with tons of material. Super prolific. And guess what? He's also my co-host on Punch Drunk Sports, on my sports podcast, which, by the way, if you're too into sports, it's only like 20% sports. The rest is just shit talking. But he's releasing a CD, everybody. It's called Believe in Yourself, and it's going to be on iTunes on May 20th. That's Tuesday. It's going to be available on iTunes everywhere. You can pre-order it right now, I'm pretty sure. Go get it. Believe in Yourself. I've heard it, and it's great. Some of his best bits are on there. Oh, I had a fire pit out here. I sat in the fire pit last night, drank some wine. Fucking watch the fire, you guys, by the lake. It was awesome. Believe in Yourself. It's an amazing CD by Sam Tripoli. Buy it on iTunes. Guys, you should support great comedy. And he hasn't released anything in forever. And he's a great underrated comic. I'm telling you, you're not going to be disappointed if you go get that. It's dirty. It's dark. I'm trying to think if he has any clean, not dark stuff, but I don't think so. But you guys will love it. So it was recorded live in Edmonton, so all Canadians should get it. But it's released live in America, so all Americans should get it. By the way, my Chinese dates, my Shanghai and around there dates are on my website. And the Hong Kong dates are, well, they're up, but they're not on Laugh Stub yet. So they're on a different site. Hong Kong Comedy. Go to that. All right. So anyway, you guys, on today's episode, so Get Believe in Yourself by Sam Tripoli right now. If it cost $40, it would be too little. But it would probably not cost nearly that much. 10? What is it? 10? Yeah, and I guarantee you, it won't. That money won't go to the bank. Sam Tripoli is using that money to live, to pay his rent. So on this episode, I wanted to interview David Tell. I've been wanting to interview him for a while. And I never know, since he's one of the kind of guys you look up to, everybody looks up to him, comedically, it's like I feel bad about asking people to do my podcast to bother them. But he seemed to like hinting at it one day that he wanted to do it outside the cellar. So I asked him, and he's like, yeah, sure, I'd love to do it. I was like, sure, anytime. And he goes, well, I've got some stuff to promote that's coming out in a few months or 5 months. He goes, let's do it then. So fine. Anyway, so the stuff he had to promote, I was gone in L.A. It's his special, which everyone should download. You can watch it on the Comedy Central stand-up app. And his show, Comedy Underground. So I figured this is the way I do it to help my friends promote stuff is, you know, I do a regular podcast with them and I'll just release it on the day that it's, you know, so if I record somebody tomorrow and they're releasing a CD in November, I'll just wait till November and release it then. It's just a discussion. And the introduction I'll do new. So I wanted to get Dave to talk about his giving up drinking. And Dave was not comfortable doing the podcast alone. He wanted Metzger and Okerson to be there for him. One, to promote the Comedy Underground, the stand-up series that he hosts on Comedy Central. 1 a.m. every Saturday night for the next 2 weeks. Also available on the Comedy Central app. But 1 a.m. on Saturday night on Comedy Central. So he said, how about we get some guys, you know, so I'll be comfortable. And also, you know, they'll be on the show, so we'll promote it. And I was like, yeah, okay. So those guys, I know they both looked up to him, and they went on the road with him a little bit, too. I know Jay has. I don't know about Kurt. Anyway, I still somehow thought I could finagle Dave Attell into giving it up about quitting drinking and getting deep like that. Okerson was like, no, you never will. I should have gotten him alone. I should have gotten him alone. And if I knew I wasn't going to get that shit, I should have just stayed on one thing, like make it all about New York or make it all about bums or just all about shooting comedy or something. But because I'm fucking overwhelmed with fucking reverence for this guy, I couldn't do it. So it's a failure on my part as an interviewer. Still a funny episode. You can't go wrong with Metzger and Okerson and Attell. I mean, you cannot go wrong. I was worried that my thing broke. It fell. And the connector, the cover of it popped off. And I was like, uh-oh. Am I not going to be able to record this? But I tried it. I risked it, and it worked. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. I didn't get anything specific topic-wise. We talked about bums a little bit. We talked about shooting comedy a little bit. We made some jokes, talked about Donald Sterling. But overall, it was a swing and a miss. So, ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 167. Oh, and by the way, that storyteller show, it's not going to be August 8th. It's going to be September, I think the first or second week of September. We're going to do them then. So if you made plans for August 8th, keep those plans because I might be shooting my next special on that or around that date. I'm trying to do it at the Comedy Store. We'll see if that'll happen. I think some people are like, well, Gerard just did one there, so it's kind of copying. I'm like, it's not copying. It's fucking my home. And that's the most comfortable place I'll ever be doing stand-up. I don't give a shit about... You guys know how I talk about comparison, right? Comparison is a thief of joy. So just do your special wherever you want to. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 167. Swing and a miss. It could be 168. I think it's 167, though. Swing and a miss with Dave Attell and also Big J Okerson and Kurt Metzger. Enjoy.
And my brain hurts like a knife hole. 'Cause I've yet to be shown how to pull myself out from the sucking quicksand of failure.
guys.
Yeah, every once in a while they come after me with like music I use.
Can we put speakers on that Jeep so everybody can hear out here at this
Freak first... Nick.
Welcome to the show. Oakerson, Metzger, and Attell are here.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. I'm glad we could get this done at some place.
Thanks for moving it outdoor to the stand.
Ah, fresco.
I like how bundled up you are. Yeah. 61 degree weather.
I feel chilly.
Really?
Yeah.
Jacket weather?
No, I left my sweatshirt somewhere. It's not a good story. It's not interesting.
But you said you used to go jacket over just a shirt. Interesting. That's very young girl of you.
Yeah,
it's middle school.
It's middle school.
Yeah, when you don't know any better. Shorts and a full coat.
Boy who likes jacket.
I pull the sleeves over my hands so I don't have to touch people during the square dancing.
I like, Ari, how you're not wearing headphones, so we're really going on faith that this is all coming out.
Yeah, man.
I like that.
When God has blessed you in the past, it's
well,
not
the band's
be any
kicking
different.
In, so I have to go in a minute. I have to sing.
Dave, I get the feeling you do not like doing podcasts.
You know what? I've done about 50 hours of podcasting in the last 3 weeks. Yeah. So I came to it late, but I came to it hard.
You did them all, right? You did the whole L.A. run.
I did the L.A. podcast. I worked my way through the Midwest.
Yeah,
where'd you hit the Midwest? I did the Rooster Report. Okay. I did
That's a good one.
EenieMeenieMiniMo.com. I did all of them.
Do you guys get hit up in every city you go to for podcasts?
Well, there is this podcast in every town. I like that.
Yeah.
I get hit up to call into podcasts
that's
a lot.
Call into them?
And then they harass me if I, like, can't make their fucking phone call to their podcast.
Do you talk to their producer slash mother on the phone first? And then they...
Oh, Kurt, you should tell them about the guy. Like, that's such a great... Like, every comic probably has that guy. The guy we started with in Philly who gets mad. He's like, you want a big opportunity, like, to be in this movie? Yeah.
Oh,
and then you like when you don't answer because you know it's bullshit. He's like, "Hey, you don't fucking answer."
No, do you know what? I got back to him,
and then he didn't get back to you.
No, right? Then he told me like, "Oh, thanks, but you're not right for this." Like he wanted me to call back so he could tell
me what's the story.
I didn't have the credits.
Yeah, tell him about the guy though.
This fucking guy we used to do comedy with. I should probably just say his name because who gives a shit?
Well, he changed it.
I don't know what his real name is, but we knew him as Michael Rage.
Like a rage?
Yeah, the raging bull of comedy.
Okay.
You got to tell me again what Italian? It is, though, for real. Because I want to find his videos again.
I'm going to guess Italian?
No, he's a Jewish guy that
is
seems Italian. Yeah.
Was he Jewish?
Yeah.
He's very tan. He's got a Rich Voss thing to him, but if Rich Voss just went fucking total rogue, just like idiotic, like tucks in his... He like
more
buys... but he wears like, you know, he's from Philly... Or Atlantic City, I guess, but so he wears like, you know, Eagles jerseys, like tucked into jeans, like that look, and like
he always
has some like Russian girl he ordered like on his arm. He's got a lot of jewelry.
Even, like hated his guts or anything, but one thing that sucked about it, he would steal jokes.
I thought he sucked.
They had like a comedy contest. No, I meant as a human. I didn't hate his guts as a human being.
Oh yeah, I remember when he judged the comedy, we gave him a zero for material because we killed. So we were like, we gave him like a 10 on killing
delivery
and a 10 on delivery, and then it was like material, and I gave him a zero. I was like, why? Because he did a joke that Laura Keitlinger does very specifically, but he thought he was stealing from a source that no one would catch in a black
club.
So it was funny. So he goes, why did you? He goes, why did you give me a zero for material? I go, because you just did a Laura Keitlinger joke. He goes, what? And I go, yeah, the thing about the crack babies. He goes, Keitlinger's doing that now? Because then he addressed her like she was too much of a household name. Like, you know, I was like, shut up.
Here we are on the east side, which is almost Brooklyn. Right? This is for the kids who, they're hip, but they also have to work.
Well,
these are for the kids whose parents, you know, they're a little worried.
Yeah, they get them in a nice place.
Yeah.
Well, wait,
yeah,
let me tell you, this story.
Up. What?
So he gets in touch with me on Facebook. No. So he gets in touch with me on Facebook. I have these people from Philly who are like, hey, man, you still write? Because they want me to like finish their
project.
They have half an idea that I'm going to finish for them.
What's the one with the guy?
Let me finish one. I'm going to finish their half an idea for them all the time, and then I'm going to pitch it with my connections.
Yeah, right.
There's no talk of money.
Pitch this volleyball movie to Rogan.
Yeah, it's no.
what should I tell him?
It's always like it's a big opportunity for me to help them, but no mention of how it helps me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm busy all this shit, and he gets impatient in the same day of sending the message. Say, hey, man, get back to me, you know, like, so I get back. I'm like, all right, man, what is this? But, like, what's the money up and right now? I want to know what I'm getting for this. And he's like, it's a movie. We got, he's dropping all these names at me that I'd never heard of.
Kev.
Yeah, and he goes, call me up. So, all right. So when I have a chance to call him finally, it's to do punch-ups on this movie script that they have all this funding for, supposedly. Like, some real heavyweights are behind this movie. Okay? He goes, if your credits are up
the
to snuff,
who own White
we'll
House
talk about
getting
you, if my credits are up to snuff, this thing he harassed me to get back to him, we'll talk about it. So I go, well, I've never written a movie before, man. I'm doing punch-ups here. And he goes, you know what, man? I don't think you're right for it, but I'll keep you in mind. He wanted me to get back to him just so he could tell me. Basically, it's like, hey, I'm doing stuff too.
There's a homeless guy doing breakdancing behind you.
Oh, they're the greatest.
Whoa, full flips. He only knew this was a podcast and not video. I think he really thought this was like a
Would you believe me if I told you that's Tupac? He is alive.
By the way, it's a constant. In L.A., how is your homeless, like, just bothering you in the middle of doing something?
They don't really bother you. They'll lead you with a long story. They do that better because it's more writers there. So they'll give you, like, a seven-minute lead-up to the, hey, can I have a quarter?
There's Nikki Glaser.
Dave, you're great because you give the homeless, like, you're very generous to them and so aggressively mean at the same time, which I love.
Go ahead. Explain.
I love you. Like, here, go. It's almost like you're pushing them away with
$10. No, because they're regulars. It's not like it's a special guest homeless. It's like they're there every night. They know when I'm going on at the Comedy Cellar. They're there. They're clocking me. And they wait.
They know
for
you
me
give
them
money.
Out. Yeah,
because they know. Yeah, you give. Wow,
yeah, because I'm a sucker. I'm a sucker. I was raised socialist parents.
Does it feel like having your own paparazzi following you ever? I'm trying to make a phone call.
It's amazing. I'm always blown away that the regulars do come to you. It's like they have the shortest memories ever.
Yeah, like within a couple hours they'll come back.
I've heard the whole fake
they're
rap.
Like turkeys.
Oh yeah,
they kick a turkey in the face.
Oh, they'll hit you on the same night. Yeah,
really?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You already, you already asked me, but then you think, oh yeah, they have no idea.
I do say that, and it doesn't break their stride at all.
No, they don't
care. What'd you say last time?
Well, dude, if we can get back to your passive aggressive attack on me and the homeless, me, Allie Baldwin, and the rest of the setters in this town have had it with these people. No, I'm sick of them. Like you said, it's the same spiel, and then they want to hang out. Like for somehow their charm has like gotten you into this inner circle, and it's like, I know you just want money. You're playing me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's so it makes you feel
but
very
whorish.
Huh?
And my urban friend, you know, he says you shouldn't give them any money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he goes, they're all con men. And I'm like, come on.
They're not all con men. That guy with the silver hair.
Which one's that? Silverhead?
Outside this
He's not a panhandler. He's not a panhandler.
He'll shine your shoes or not.
Well, that's a skill, though. He's giving. Yeah.
No, yeah.
Dude, even if they're sneakers, he'll
some
shine.
Some of those shoe shine guys take an insane amount of pride of what they're able to do. I mean, it's weird.
That guy sells cigarettes for $8 a piece.
That's brilliant.
He's not homeless.
He's a businessman.
Yeah, that guy's
great.
He's
a very good businessman. He's making 100% profit on his investment.
You don't want to walk to the end of the block. Let me help you.
No, it ain't got nothing to do with that, man.
Well, the shoe shine guys.
It's double the price of those cigarettes.
Yeah.
But it's $6 to $7 less than a pack of cigarettes here.
Well, because why? He buys them by the carton?
Like,
but it's somewhere else.
Like the cash machines. Yeah. Can I throw this out? They have that table there for banking. I've never seen anyone bank. I've seen everything else. Baby changing, a sandwich. just like I've seen a lot cards, reading cards, you know, psychic tarot cards. I've never seen any banking.
A stack of customs papers.
Yeah. I saw a guy making a sandwich there, which I assume I helped him buy because that's like their little, like, you know, that's like their homeless kitchen.
Have you ever offered the homeless food and they reject
they
it?
They hate it.
That's fucking.
Do they really?
I'm violently shitty sometimes.
Gluten free, you know, like they have a weird thing. Hi.
That makes me think they are con men.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the homeless I'm supposed to feel
out
bad
west.
For where
yeah,
they are.
In Alaska, too.
Yeah.
They're angry.
They really are.
Who are?
Native American homeless. Or native.
Oh, they're in Alaska.
Yeah.
Alaska.
Oh, the Canadian natives are. They'll try to mug you for a Slurpee, dude.
They're just mad at you.
Oregon, Seattle, like all the train routes. That's where you see the natives.
Oh, really?
Right. Yeah.
But they.
Why? Because that's where they started living because of the.
That's funny because I saw it in Alaska heavy duty, but I assume they were just out of season fishermen or canners.
But those natives will take. Homeless. They'll take a sandwich or something, right? The native ones?
The natives? Yeah,
don't they use every part of the sandwich?
Dude, I was told. I was
even
told.
The crust? No.
I was told when I was in Alaska by the people who ran that club out there or people involved in it, at least they were like, don't get in any like look at your cab driver for you. Don't get in with like native drivers. And they're just like fucking
what?
Like
really.
They just fucking are full of fury and hate. And there's like
and they're used to dealing with soft ass Canadians who are like respectful automatically. You know,
Canadians are all lumberjacks. They're not soft.
No, but they're polite.
They're soft.
And they're not going to like dismiss you. You know, ethnically based.
Yeah.
Even for their own safety.
When I was playing the Mall of America, a native came up to me, and he said, and I was just really like, it was one of those like, just like after a bad show, yeah. And he goes, I'll buy you a beer if you smile.
He said that to you?
Yeah. And I go, why are you using the white man tricks on me?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's how they got him to give up his land.
I would think that's a white smile. Man trick so much as a like Puerto Rican hitting on a white girl in the street trick. Right, like, well, come on, smile, baby.
Just want some attention.
A big ass bitch like you by herself.
Here we are, four men. Ari, how long has this podcast been going? Because I am late to the game.
You mean in general? It's about like 3 years, maybe.
3 years. So, something would you say like this is your 100th show?
It is my no. Jay just had 100th.
Legion of Skanks just did 100 shows.
Mine is will be 167.
Here, you guys, you're all podcast guys. Right?
We have to do something, Dave.
You're like. The Avengers or something. Yeah. New York's podcast. Like if there's podcast magazine every week, one of you
would be in it.
We'd probably on the cover.
On the cover?
Yeah.
Do you listen to podcasts, Ari?
No, not really.
I never listen to any podcasts.
I listen to music.
Why would you say that to the listeners?
Well, they can listen to it. I don't give a shit.
I don't listen to podcasts either. I listen to talk radio.
Talk radio. Oh, Ron and Fez.
Ron and Fez, Stern.
How about an Imus?
Nope.
Well,
does anyone listen to IMS? Does anyone for real?
With the amount of time that I listen to radio,
besides that girl's basketball team, does anyone listen to IMS?
Between five days a week of Ron and Fez and 3 days of Stern, it's all. I don't need more than that
that's
in a week.
Lot.
I don't need. I never listen to everything in a week ever. So it's like it's more than I need.
What about a comic book update show with some of your favorite nerds?
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's why I can't like
some of the the favorite Creek in the Cave comedians.
I'll listen to parts.
Can I ask, is it that competitive in the podcast universe?
No, they tried to start being competitive, and then they realized it's not competitive at all. People have unlimited time to listen to stuff. Okay. They go on binges and they catch up to a podcast and they start another one.
You should really tell the listeners at home you didn't add in these applause. That's from the show going on downstairs. It's not like you said, hey.
Fourth wall, man.
Put some sound effects.
I wonder how
now
much
baby crying. Wah. You're not going to do that. That's what I would do on my corny cast. Captain Cornball.
I'm on Corncast now.
Captain Cornball.
It's amazing, though, to even have the idea. Like, your podcast is en route. It is monetized actually already. To the point, I mean, that's fucking pretty amazing, man. Yeah. I couldn't even wrap my brain around the idea of.
I love it. I like
my podcast making me money, and it's doing okay.
It's crazy. It paid for me to have a New York apartment last year.
Paid your way through school. It was your stripping. Got me through college.
The combination of stripping.
Dildoing yourself on a stage.
Why didn't that Duke porn star think to make a podcast?
Now, is it getting warmer, or is it all the great podcasts pushing us towards the sun?
The heat is on, man.
Do you think it's all the delicious talk pushing us slowly to it?
You would never do one, like a weekly one?
Don't ever say never. No, I don't. The thing that I think drives a great podcast is the ability to talk about yourself, and I really don't.
Have that at all.
I hate
you
it.
You never share
myself.
About yourself.
I hate myself. So, yeah, I don't know how you guys do it.
I hate myself, too, but I kind of tell people that.
You can see what would interest others in the things you hate, can't you?
Yeah, well, how much more do we have to give, guys?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly. I mean, really. I really do.
No, that's a real concern. I get that.
Do you feel that, too?
Yeah.
I thought it was a generational thing.
What?
I feel like the guys who started without ever sharing stuff, like never needing to.
Like a Danny Kaye or
Slayton types. Danny Kaye, sure.
Just straight jokes.
Like, yeah, they don't know how to, like, I don't know, open up more. They don't like doing it.
Yeah, no, it used to be like, you know, you do the radio, you do the gig, and then, you know, you're done. You're nobody. And now it's like all day long, it's promotion, and then it's talk, and then it's more, whatever.
I don't think that.
Yeah, well, but yeah, I think you're too good a comic. That's the problem. I think if you were like in the okay world, then you'd be like, this is cool. I'm kind of performing all day, you know?
I just need a platform to say, leave Donald Sterling alone.
He's a wonderful man. Slant on
him. Kurt's like, you know, it's hilarious, man.
What?
It is really funny with that Donald Sterling thing, like how much outwardly. By the way, I still do defend that he should own that team.
Sell his business.
I think he should own that team for as long as he wants to own that team. No problems. But it was hilarious that I was like, you're taking a guy's private words and blah, blah, blah. And then he just, to go on Anderson Cooper and just sit in that position and just be like, yeah, you got it. Dude, I was saying, what was the funniest thing? I watched that.
Any better.
I watched that interview with closed captioning, and there was a mistake made by the person typing closed captioning, because this made me laugh even harder. It said, it was like, what? What is Magic Johnson? He goes, I guess he said he has full-blown AIDS, but they wrote full-bone AIDS, and it wasn't even like, it was like O-W-N, like they forgot the L. It was like, so someone heard and typed full B-O-N-E-A. He got full-bone AIDS. And looking up at what he's saying, he's like sitting like this. He goes, he's got full-bone AIDS, his arm fucking on the back of the couch. Like, what a dickhole.
There's nothing funnier than old Jews talking.
I'm like, oh, I guess he just is racist.
When he made love to all those ladies.
He's an old man, and he, you know, I really do think that he should have to confront his racism by managing a Modell's or a Burger King. Tamara, you're late again. He has to constantly deal with. They are people. They have problems. Well, I get it.
I don't get what. I mean, with the phone, I don't get what he's supposed to apologize for with the phone call, because it wasn't like he made an announcement.
Yeah.
Somebody just recorded him, so like, what's
That's what I'm saying. I shouldn't have gotten to where it is.
Is like, it like smoking at home? Should he have opened a window and not done it around a child? Honey, I'm going to say something racial. Let me just crack a window.
Let
here.
Some of the racism out.
Well, that chick is such garbage.
Yeah, but she do you think garbage. She'll do Playboy? I really do think, like, what's her next move?
I think she's too old for Playboy. She's already 31?
No, they've been holding it up.
No, but there's no, but Playboy's not the way. But that chick, if she's going to do Playboy, she'll take $1 million and they'll give her $1 million just fuck some dude. Like, that's what I'm pointing.
No, I don't think she'll do that.
She's not big enough for Playboy. The guy who went out with Sterling.
Dude, that girl who, the Mark Wiener chick did porn immediately. It's amazing how fast they'll jump in the porn. They really don't give a fuck.
Was she hotter?
It was Hopper.
She was already in porn.
It was Hopper because she was a
dumb one with television.
Remember that classy?
No, she was a hooker.
No.
No, she wasn't. I think she was just a talent. Like,
she was some college girl. You know, Mark Wiener. No, you're thinking Elliot Spitzer was.
Oh, hooker. Yeah.
But you remember that classy chick that was JFK's secretary? And he'd be like, hey, but she'd have to give head to his assistants?
No, I don't remember that, really.
Yeah, he'd be like, if she just wrote a book, she waited till everyone was dead.
Yeah.
So nobody would be hurt by it. And
or
then she
or to call out that it's bullshit, too.
Right. Call out what
possibly. She waited until everybody was dead so she can call out bullshit, too. I mean,
I think she just was a classy
broad. But you can't think of 1,000 reasons why she would make this up.
Well, what does it help her now at this point when she's almost
money.
Dead?
Money on a book.
Book.
I don't
get
know.
People to
I think
it's a fun...
Money for your kids.
She sounded pretty credible.
Kitten feed.
The fact
does that
she didn't...
change your image on JFK, though?
No, everybody knew...
What's the big deal?
Yeah, everybody knew he did that.
Yeah, hey...
No, but she had the class to wait till it wouldn't fucking bother one of them.
Yeah, I like that. Screech should have done that.
We're just reading it. Screech should have done what?
With his book.
Wait until the whole... hypocrites, guys. Who really cares? I mean, yeah. I don't.
Well, that's the larger issue. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, well, that's the big point. It's like, it's just all chatter. And,
I mean...
I know this podcast is basic. It's for and about stories, so...
It's not for and about stories. It's usually about a topic. I wanted to talk to you about your drinking. But I don't know if you've been done
You're like the deep guy. I want to talk about Comedy Underground, and thank you all for doing it.
We're all
on different episodes, so that's kind of cool.
Is it getting ratings? How's it doing?
Yeah, how is it doing?
Ratings, that's an old man stuff. Tweets and page views. Yes.
Is it getting enough tweets and page views?
The tweeting been amazing by both the comics and the fans. We got that down through the help of Christine and, of course, the comics. We have wrangled the comics into a force, almost like a tsunami of tweets.
Yeah.
Now... ratings at 1 a.m. on a Saturday. What is a good rating there?
I have no idea.
Exactly. What is it? Can I take on the third rerunning of Turn on FX? Can I take on Pop Secret the last 20 minutes when we realize that
the
it is
a story?
Can I take, you know, it's funny what you're up against at that hour, you know?
What order SVU's 13th episode?
Wait, it's Saturday night. That's Saturday Live, right?
No, I think it's right after.
It's right after
SNL. Apollo.
Yes, I'm going head to head.
Well, it's the Lorel episode. That'll be the decider.
Well, we already had the Lorel episode, and I have to say, I thank him a lot for doing the show. He's not a dirty comic, and it was about dirty. And
huge,
he
right?
did a good job.
Yeah,
he really did.
Were you trying to get it to go dirty or just become dirty?
I think I wanted it for the dirty comics to be able to do their dirty jokes, because otherwise, I was like, you know, there's plenty of middle of the road guys. But now that I see it, it's really just about like the best jokes. You know that.
Yeah.
And everybody can always just
balls comedy, really. It didn't
balls.
Have to be necessarily like pussy.
The first time you told me about it, you were like, no, it's just a show. We're just doing a show. We're televising it. And then you became more like uncensored.
No, that was the song.
No, the whole
That's
thing was
I
to be.
It.
Oh, really?
Because it was uncensored.
Yeah, I mean, was the thing. It was to be uncensored. Yeah.
By the
yeah.
new definition of how comedy works, if it's not a stammering, autistic twit with True. Your glasses on, then that's crazy dirty.
How many alt comics did you get for this?
No, I told them, I said no storytellers and no alts. You were on the fence.
Really?
So I was yeah. like, I want Ari to do it because I know you're a ballsy comic. Like, you really do, like, dig in and, like, you know, you don't take the easy road.
You've actually made a good decision, though, to be less dirty over the last couple of years,
but
haven't
you? Yeah, but you told me you were always to be dirty.
Yeah, I'm just, yeah.
Like, you're sending, can you describe that thing, the sending people back to Africa? That video? I mean, like that, you know. That's what we call a career killer.
Outreach.
I mean,
is it true that you play Amistad in reverse so you can enjoy it?
I don't know what Sterling is, your manager or your landlord, but either way,
he's opening for me on the road.
They should ask him what's funny. Well, this Ari Shaffir kid, he's got this video out there. I watch it every morning as I put on my
when Ari had those AIDS. I love that guy. He sounds like fucking Danny DeVito on Always Sunny.
Who, the actual
Sterling?
Sounds
I
like
heard
Doctor.
His voice yet.
Well, no, not his voice, but the shit he says. He sounds like Dr. Mantis Toboggan.
Mantis Toboggan, what's that from?
That was the fake doctor Frank Reynolds was in Always Sunny.
Yeah.
Were you?
You've got the AIDS.
That's a good show.
I like when, like, because he's a Hollywood guy. Like, he must have been around since the 70s, so he must like know all those really cool old Hollywood people.
Who are we talking about, Sterling or Frank?
Sterling.
Yeah.
They must have been like, you know...
Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson. And, you know, Jimmy Kahn.
Jimmy Kahn?
He must have known all those guys.
You're Ali
he was
Baldwin.
Rich. You know, he's been rich for a long time. He's a billionaire, guys. You know what
he's
that is?
He's a billionaire. With cancer. I just don't think he cares.
Who's a billionaire with cancer?
Donald Sterling.
He has cancer?
Yeah.
Oh
pray
that?
For him.
Yeah. Ask him.
My prayers are with him.
Mine too. You ever get a homeless guy yell at you? Like be angry at you that you don't give them the right amount of...
Yeah. I've had them...
You can look at me.
I get pretty aggressive with homeless when they get out of line. I mean, I really don't take no shit off no homelesses.
Well, there's
I
saw aggressive panhandling. That's what you guys are... Yeah, that's what we're talking about here.
When the police want them out of the way, dude, it's funny how aggressive they'll fucking be with them, though. I saw...
They'll
that was
the
a,
police?
I want to tell you this anyway. I thought you'd find this interesting. You know, do you hear the thing on 10th Avenue or Avenue D and 6th Street with the other night, Sunday night, like a 20-year-old kid like came up. They have video of like he came up behind this old Asian guy.
Surprise
63-year-old. And no, not surprised. Not, like physically beat him to death.
Why?
Just
with
did.
His, with his no, hands
it,
and feet?
It just came behind him.
What like, is he, a young Marky Mark?
Dude, I mean, it was a vicious, like, so he beats him to death.
On
kills
10th
him.
Avenue?
On Avenue D.
Oh.
Well, and 6th Street. Yeah, it's when you get over to the Alphabet City, it gets funky over there. But, like, it's but so they had him in the precinct right across the street from my apartment.
Yeah.
And me and Mike Fenoy, our buddy, were watching him, and all the cameras were set up because they were going to bring him. They caught the guy the next day, and they were bringing him out for to take him to central booking. And, man, looking at that fucking, like, seeing his face, man, I was more like way more affected by it than I thought I would be. Like, see. They just brought him out. You're like, wow, a couple hours ago, this guy like just beat a fucking dude to
well,
death.
Well, what did his face look like?
A few hours just, I don't know, man. I actually day. Have a picture of it, but like...
You got to...
I'll say that it was off online. Someone put a picture of it online.
Oh.
I don't believe it. I don't believe that the older Miyagi-type Asian couldn't take on this young... was he on some kind of drug?
It may have been on a drug. He also was attacking
apparently
behind,
his,
so
apparently
the crane
his
didn't work.
Apparently yeah. his mom, the 20-year-old kid's mom said he was on Molly. Black dude.
He was on where, Molly?
Oh,
by the way,
no way. Is that what you're
Molly.
Saying now? He's a brother?
Well, yeah, he's a brother.
But he's who attacks Chinese people?
But what's great
what
is also,
I'm planning on
what was sort of, in hindsight, funny, what did yeah. make me laugh, is that when, they pull, when they're bringing him out, you're like, what's this kid going to be, you know, I didn't even think about what he'd be wearing, but he was wearing, like, leather pants with, like, a leather shirt. It was pretty bad. I'm like, where did they catch this guy?
Maybe it was a rough trade sex club thing, and they took it to the street.
I thought he came there right from Eddie Murphy's Raw.
Well, that kid's a scumbag.
I was backstage at Eddie Murphy's Raw. That's
you really will bizarre. Not see that in Drive Along Gag Reel. On
Ride Along. Ride Along.
Sorry.
Get your Kevin Hart movies right.
Sorry about that.
That is remarkably vicious, though, to just like
To have a gag reel with your hands?
I mean, either put it in the movie or don't.
Well, do you remember the guy that pushed an old Chinese guy into the subway?
Remember him?
Is that the one they were taking
commemorate
him. But that guy, it turned out when the real story came out, the old Chinese guy was drunk and belligerent and like aggressively attacking people.
And he shoved him?
And then the guy shoved him. It wasn't just that he randomly bias crime
the real story.
Yeah, so there's always more.
They want.
Well, you're from L.A., Ari. What would be the equivalent of the subway pushing? Pushing a guy into, I guess, a panel show?
Card
show? We'll be right back. An MSNBC panel.
They pushed me into At Midnight. I had to come up with funny hashtags.
I lost my balance. I didn't know where I was.
Oh, do you watch At Midnight, by the way?
I have not seen it yet.
You
would
be
heard
a great
it's okay.
addition to that.
I don't understand.
I talked to Chris Hardwick. I'm telling you, like they pump it out every night. It's a real deal. It's getting
ratings.
For
younger than
really?
Me.
Because yeah, you know what they do? Do you know the idea of the show?
Like, it's like Chelsea Lately jokes, right? But
do you know?
No, it's about the.
Yeah, do you know what they
web?
Do with the show? It's what? Like they do the show at midnight.
Yeah,
and it's all web based, so all that stuff gets tweeted out, and they play the games and stuff like that. So it becomes when you wake up in the morning, it's all the main trending things are from that show.
Oh, that's right.
So for people that I swear to you, I feel bad. I'm sorry, fans of any sort, but it's like. People apparently wake up in the morning and give a fuck about what's trending in the Twitter world. I don't get it.
Yeah, that's
I don't
old.
Personally get it.
That's what that means.
I'm old.
They had to outlaw Bieber being trending because it would be the top, all the top 10 would be Bieber rocks. I love Bieber. Justin Bieber.
Who outlawed it?
Twitter.
Oh, I think this like the Supreme Court made a decision.
Twitter stock is down, guys.
The People VB. People V Bieber.
PVB.
I like to reference People V Bieber.
That show is the generation. This is your generation's show, guys.
No way.
I worked on the proto pilot that they turned into that.
What pilot?
At 11.
It was called. We couldn't even come up by the way.
At midnight.
Yeah, it was me and fuck, I'm blank. Tony Kameen.
Yeah.
This dude Chris Pataki.
I like him.
And it wasn't web based, but it was the exact same show, not web based. And ours was called Tonight's Funniest, and we couldn't come up with a better title than that. That's how much we suck.
I like that better, Tonight's Funniest.
Yeah, but it had the same thing, like the red light comes down, and I think they chopped it up and made it that web show.
Late Night Laughy Laughs with Kurt Metzger.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but like my girl like will sit and watch it. If you're
really?
A certain age, you could. I just can't follow.
Yeah, but I thought you were all over the tweets and all that, no? You don't
no.
do the tweet, you do the Facebook.
Yeah, I'm not.
But you're all over it.
All over what?
I mean, you're on that thing all day.
You're on all
yeah,
day.
But that's not because of my tech savvy. That's because of
no, I know.
See you, Chris.
Jabbering.
So you're saying this is your chief, Joseph. This is your I'll fight no more forever. Throwing out some native. You don't mind me throw some native.
I prefer it. I was just on a reservation last weekend. By the way, that girl that Chris is with. She was sitting there at the comics table, and I just looked at her. I'm like, you're not a comic, are you?
I know. She stinks.
No
she,
way.
She doesn't look at nobody.
Oh.
Yeah, she doesn't look
here and throw you in a
I had a long conversation
no,
with her.
No, you won't.
I had a long conversation. She was. She's from the real world 5 years ago.
And well, now maybe I'm thinking of a different girl.
Cancun, she said.
Fallujah?
She told me she did nothing interesting except she kissed a girl on one episode.
That's what they got to do. You got to spice it up. You got to do something like that.
I guess. I don't know. And they met doing like reality show something for MTV2.
You know what we should ask about this whole Twitter and other stuff is the Guy Code guys and then Nikki of Nikki and Sarah because that's the one that's the fan base.
That's where they come.
I was told tonight Andrew Schultz's podcast, him and Charlemagne the God.
Yeah.
The two Guy Code guys have the number one podcast in podcasts. Not in comedy podcast, in podcasts.
I was just on the number one the other day, Adam Carolla.
No.
Well,
no.
The number one's
no,
only
on the
last.
Number one, Joe Rogan. No.
They don't last forever.
Your
no
appearance
way.
Has shot them down.
No way. Rogan and Carolla are not
shot
leaving.
Down.
That's what kid?
Wilkerson's saying.
By Charlemagne.
Charlemagne the God.
Wow.
Charlemagne
amazing.
The God? That's his name. Charlemagne the God?
I started this whole thing by saying
he's
black.
Funny,
right?
I don't believe it.
Did I say he was black?
And I like
Charlemagne. Did I open this by saying he was black?
If you ever heard him, he's pretty funny. Charlemagne on... what do you call it?
On Hot 97?
Hot 97. No, Hot 97.
No way, is that really a child?
Oh, is he Donkey of the Day thing?
He's a DJ guy, but he's like the funniest of those.
On World Star Pimp Pop, he does Donkey of the Day.
Oh.
Donkey of the Day. Ass of the
Day. Well, let me tell you
something. It'll be like Solange Knowles, like today would be Donkey of the Day.
In the demographic of people who would wait in line for the ugliest sneakers in the universe, they do very fucking well. I heard there's some new purple sneakers coming out with stars and planets and shit on it.
Oh, you gotta have that.
Them motherfuckers tie themselves.
I kill a man for them sneakers.
When was that period? People were killing each other for sneakers.
It's yesterday?
From when they came out to the present.
What was that?
from when they were invented till
from
now.
From Jordan's 1.
I wonder if on their podcast they add in like young guy sounds like skateboard tricks.
Oh, for real?
Video game noises.
Flat brim hat. I said Andrew Schultz is the love child of a pair of skinny jeans and a YOLO hat.
He really is a human podcast. YOLO, isn't
he? A human YOLO hat.
Good old Schultz.
With the hat tilted to the side.
It's not tilted to the side. It is flat, tight,
flat
brim.
Oh, he always comes correct.
And Schultz really does get whatever black culture is going right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'll adopt that 100%.
Well, I like him because
it blows my mind because he'll come in and wear clothes where I'm like, oh, he's dressed like a nerdy, like, white dude. But it's like, no, this is what. And then it's like, I'll go, like, oh, Lil Wayne and Drake are dressed that exact same way. Tight button down shirts.
Well,
and
it's part of the guy code. You don't know how guy code works?
I don't.
You dress up like a bitch all the time?
He's
like a fashion bitch?
He's a street kid, but he has the smell of a charter school. He's a good kid. Sorry to interrupt. If you guys are you going to rail other comics who aren't here? Because
all night long,
I didn't sign up for.
Who else wants some?
Just passing by.
Where's Dave Jeskow? Get him over! I'm going to yell at him now.
I was at Caroline's doing Adam Carolla's book signing. Have you ever thought of doing a book?
I've never thought of it. I've read two books in the last 10 years.
Real? I always think of you as like the most well-read of all.
I would have guessed you read a lot of books.
You know why you think that? Because Ari looks like in Animal House when Donald Sutherland was banging Otter's girlfriend.
Yeah.
The college professor that sold them pot.
It just come out with my sweater and no plants on.
Dude, we had a big argument the other day with David Lewis about how many books you've read in your life. Like, I've read a grotesquely low amount of books.
What did you think was a ridiculous number of books to have read?
Lewis said he read 200 books in his life.
Yeah, 200 is easy.
It is?
I've read like fucking maybe 15 books.
No way.
In your whole life?
In my whole
life.
Even
including baby books?
What about college?
And by the way, and two of them were written by Artie Lang.
How many manuals do you think you've done? You know, refrigerator to shotgun. 15. See, what I like about Ari's look is that, like, let's say there's an apocalypse. All you have to do is put a little tape on one of the frames of your glass, crack one lens, and you look like you're the bookkeeper in the apocalyptic world.
The guy that recharges your iPod.
Written words. I can help you with those.
The ancients' words.
The speak times.
There's a book of spells that was brought into me.
Now, this is an old Coke can from the before time.
Let me show you how to... Diesel, let me look. I have that here. Out of the way, cats. Knocking cats out of the way.
That's called.
Father needs to think. So you said 200 books for Lewis.
He said he said hundreds of books.
Hundreds of books.
And then when I asked him to clarify that.
Kurt is probably the most well-read here.
Yeah, Kurt's read hundreds of books.
That doesn't seem like a huge number of books over your lifetime.
Over your lifetime? You read
hundreds? That seems
like you read, but I bet you also read fast.
Not at NYU, you don't.
Adele, how many books have you read over the course of your life?
Were you an English major?
No, Adele. I was at film and television.
Would you say you've read hundreds of books in your entire life?
No. I wish I could say that.
What do you think?
I've read 15 books.
How many tweets have you read?
Now, if we add those up, that could be quite a few books.
Shit. Me and Adele are both going to be wearing high heels and fucking the Bronx one day, selling ass with me and her together with our fucking stupid, illiterate mind.
What about a book called How to Sell Ass? Would you read that?
Pimp Lot.
Then I would read 16 books so I could make money.
How about what kind of book do you like? A fiction? A nice
biography? Autobiography?
Everyone get into that. What about a fucking work of art? What about a real book?
Like what?
What's a work of art?
Catcher in the Rye. Great Gatsby.
That book stinks.
That one.
Fucking The Road. What about The Road?
I read that.
That was good as hell.
Why would I do? They made a movie that was so sad.
No, it was way darker.
I can't believe you read that. I thought that was like a whatchamacallit. When I was reading that, I was like, this was like watching Fox News in a way.
Really?
Like, this is like their idea. What's gonna be tough.
I read American Psycho after I saw the movie. I read The Shining after I saw the movie. Pet Sematary after I saw the movie.
Oh, so you're a Stephen King guy.
No, that was it. Oh. And then, Misery. I did read Misery.
Do you read him in a shed wearing flannel? Because that's how he writes. Read him like
sharpening a hay bale hook.
Every chapter, he's smoking another cigarette.
So, but you like show business biographies, like from like
I read Marilyn Manson, Jim Morrison.
Oh, that's cool.
Jim Morrison's autobiography. Malcolm X we had to read, I think, in school. Where I picked it so black people would like me more.
Were you like, I'll read it, but I'm being forced to?
No, I was more like, I'm going to read this so black people... I was really like...
Dude, when I lived in...
I went to a pretty black school.
When I lived down south, man, the amount of shit that I got for like reading books was like... I remember getting ganged up on in the school library.
Like a Bill Hicks joke with no laughs?
Yeah, in the fourth grade. And they're like, look at how thick this book is you're reading.
Bookie?
They're like, what you reading for?
I don't read.
They just get around you and they make you, they go, take your shirt off, twist it around your head, spin like a helicopter.
Well, that hadn't come out yet, but
gold tooth. Gold tooth black people yelling at you?
No, it wasn't even a fun. The black kids were nicer. It was like just hillbillies.
Oh, really?
But that's true. There is like a, you know, I'm reading the Flip Wilson biography. I don't know if you know, guys know him.
Yeah.
See the black guy?
Had a huge cock.
And, yeah.
Geraldine, right?
Geraldine and, you know, The Devil Made Me Do It. And it's really interesting, the start of the road back then, especially for, he's black. So, you know, like they couldn't do any, like, you know, be one of those things where it's like, you have to get to like a town. So it'd be like, well, the colored people's train doesn't leave till tomorrow, and you can't sleep here.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's like sleeping.
Right, they had all those sundown towns, they called it. Did you know about that?
No.
You know how many towns in America where, like, anybody who's not white can't spend the night here, and you have to be out by sundown?
Wow.
Like, all over the country. I mean, like, the level of racist shit they did in the 30s is fucking unbelievable.
So it's amazing, like his road, like of him just like walking and hitch. It's basically like The Hobbit, you know. He's like
just to get to a gig,
yeah.
Wow. So pursuit of happiness. Yeah. Just him and his son walking.
And
the
then
comic
you
gigs.
Come in with your amazing racist videos. Like that legacy is funny.
Why are you in my shed? Get out of here!
What about
my water bucket?
What about the guy who committed suicide? That guy is kind of your generation. The
who's that? Chicken.
No, what's his name, Christine? You know, Thomas Wallace something.
David Foster Wallace.
That guy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sauce?
I have not read of his stuff, but I would.
A.K.A. Sauce, the urban act.
David Foster's, that's his
yeah, that's
Sauce.
That's like a mind-changing book.
Really?
A life-changing book.
Yeah, I would read that. I heard about Ayn Rand, and I used to shit on her.
I read
like,
that.
I'll never do it, but that, the more I hear about it, the more I'm like, what?
Fountainhead or the other one, the new one, Cloud Atlas.
Yeah.
Not the new one. I mean,
Atlas Shrugged.
Atlas Shrugged.
Which is the one that the guy just like.
Cloud Atlas is a Matrix movie. The Matrix
not
people.
Well read.
Which one was what?
Where he just, this guy, just, the main character just did whatever he believed in, regardless of like what other people.
That's like every book.
Well, wait, back up. Who committed suicide? A comic?
David Foster Wallace.
David Foster Wallace.
A comic?
Oh, an author, so it doesn't concern
you. You're just
you.
Yeah, oh, finding out about him.
Who cares?
Wow.
You writing a bunch of dumb books I'll never read?
You know who doesn't kill themselves enough?
Look at that guy with a kilt on a bike.
Girls who play the ukulele. There's not enough of those suicides.
Do you think people read less because of the internet? Do you think people read less now?
1,000%. I don't even read full articles. I just read the headline of an article and be like, yeah, I get it.
You're
that's
like
terrible.
You're a busy guy. I get it.
Are you going to do a second season of Comedy Underground?
There's been no talk of that. No,
I hope they do. They need some better examples of comedy.
Yeah, why don't you give constructive criticism on it? Because you guys have all done different shows. So go ahead.
What, Comedy Underground?
He showed me mine.
There's nothing.
Awesome.
I mean, just if you just see the amount of like shitty stand-up shows.
That's true.
Before, it's like,
yeah.
I don't even know where to begin. Like, criticism. Like,
oh, there's
I'm
no,
so glad it's not some fucking.
I'm on the podcast.
No, it's fucked.
He's gone. Let's talk.
Let's rail it.
That has to come. It'll come back. Why would that not come back?
No, because you know what? It really has to do with, you know, how committed they are to, like, I think
style.
That it's a great opportunity, not only for the comics, but also for the network to, like, you know, they're all about looking for the next big thing.
Yep.
So this could help them.
Yeah.
And it also, you know, along the way will help all of us. That's the way I see
yeah.
it. It's like
yeah.
They might find the next, you know.
Oh, no. The more, even if I wasn't.
Or something, but.
Well, they're also obsessed with finding the next, like, 20-year-old thing.
Right.
Like, that's.
That's a big thing. Ari's got a fucking big fan base to be. That was his first ever Comedy Central appearance.
Right. Yeah. You had done, I remember you had done, did you do Norton's?
Yeah, I did Norton's.
Yeah,
that was my last TV, 6
down
years
dirty,
ago.
Yeah.
That was also a great thing. And I don't know why that didn't go forward, but that was like the ultimate. That would have been the
Fridays
ultimate.
Got shut down because Ari pulled his dong out on TV.
Oh. Why did you do that again?
It was a story about my dong. I felt to it best illustrated.
Oh, he's like, yeah. He's like, you know what? I can't. I'm not really describing it right. Let me just show you.
It was just how you can get a blowjob anywhere. You don't have to be hard. And then I related it to being in front of an audience.
And did you get hard?
No, I thought about taking out like a quarter of Viagra or something.
No, but you shouldn't have. It. He hung great dong, dude.
You know, taking out a dong is one thing, but taking out a hard dong on TV, that's unprecedented.
No, yeah,
you didn't
is.
Shave your balls because that's Stanhope's thing.
No, I didn't shave my balls. <There you go. laughs> Shave my balls.
You had to pull your dick because Bobby Lee already pulls his balls out a lot.
Bobby Lee basically ends up totally naked by the end of the show, quivering.
The comedy store.
He looks like Asian Ron Jeremy when it's all over.
He takes off his shirt, and I wanted him to do the Comedy Underground. He said he couldn't do it because he was working on an hour. I respect that. So
he ain't working on an
hour. Well, that's what he told me.
Maybe, actually.
To be one of the celebrity, like,
add-ons? I don't think he got what I wanted from him. But, you know, Comedy Central originally wanted people to do sets. And I'm like, you know, some people are working on hours. Some people are just doing me a favor. So let's just take what we can get. Yeah. And a lot of that stuff I thought got in the way of a lot of the comedy.
Yeah.
But the rest of it was, like, it would balance out better if it went forward. Like, I'd figure out a better way to do it. Like, I'd rather have one of them, like, as a surprise guest, introduce one of you guys.
Like
than have
Norton
like
this, or someone like that just
pop
out.
Yeah, like, just pull them out of the audience and have them do it. And then at the we can do moments, like, backstage. It was the backstage stuff. And Christine's here, so she could tell you that, like, a lot of that did not roll right the first because they didn't understand what we were doing backstage. But as we did the reshoot, that's when they kind of got it and how it was needed. And I think on the other show, Comedy Meltdown, Jonah's show, which is done, it's the more alt version. You'll be getting the call. They, I think, have the
Jonah
backstage
likes me,
really
man.
Figured out of like, you know, they had like...
I'm not sure because Gaffigan was like, they were too much in my face. I needed time to prepare my material and I didn't have any time. I used to being by myself for 5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that those guys would have it better because they've been doing that show for a long time. You know, it's not like a creation.
Is Meltdown shot already?
Meltdown You've never
shot.
Done that, that
shot
room?
Finished.
I did the room. Yeah.
I did the room.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. It's a great
show.
Yeah,
I could see you do because that was like in LA. That was like a place to go. Mm-hmm. But for these guys, when they go out there.
I did very well there. I did really well there at
Meltdown. Think of New York on them with their.
Any of those nerd shows, if you tell them that it's okay to laugh, if you yell at them, they will. They'll come around. But they just want to come out and be kind of cunty first for some reason, I feel like. Always.
You know what a lot of it is, too? They're all friends. They go to the shows together all the time.
They're also not as smart as everyone.
Dad, they're like, oh, Margaret, she always brings her dad.
So what is it? Right. It's a corporate gig? Is that what you're telling me?
I feel like everyone gives them just much more credit.
People in Los Angeles to choose who the hot comics are for America.
They choose who gets to be a mural on the side of the Laugh Factory?
That same group. 75 of those 200 on every given night.
And you were never in that scene. You were never a UCB
I always wanted to be in it, but they never took me.
Really? You wore all the outfits and shit.
I know. It didn't work. DePaulo, he got mad at me once. He goes, oh, why don't you go pray to Janine Garofalo? I'm
like, dude, yeah,
but she's not like them. She's pretty nice. She's
but
cool.
I would absolutely thought it's amazing to me that you were not in that world at all.
He's a store guy. Dave used to always ask me, like, how's Largo this week?
Dave
does that.
He's like one of those guys. He was never any of those guys.
Dave does that. He calls me and goes, you know, you're alternative buddies.
I just didn't care about my glasses and how they looked, so I got thick glasses.
No, but I do, because I would see you there, like, because the Comedy Store is pretty much the most, everybody says it's like the most New York of all the clubs.
Yeah.
That's being very generous, because I feel like that is like, one of the hardest rooms in America, just for the comics who are there.
Yeah.
They never get on. They're all waiting, and there's no crowds there. So,
it's a crowd of comics. Standing
dude.
In the back.
It's Ari, that means something to Ari. I saw Ari just uncork on some comic who was like hosting the show because he wasn't going to put somebody on. He was like, they fucking wait around all night, you piece of shit.
Why wasn't he going to?
The employees go up on Mondays. They used to do Sunday Mondays. They just cut it to Mondays, and he's not getting them up. They work fucking three shifts a week to get up for 3 minutes.
That's the system.
Why wouldn't he get him up?
Because
he wants to go home.
He's trying to blame it on Oakerson. He was like, well, Jay did 11 minutes instead of 7. I'm like, Jay went on way after you were supposed to be.
By the way, 11 minutes is the shortest L.A. guest spot. L.A. is the home of the 45-minute drop-in minimum. With just like a couple of basic cable credits from the 90s.
I can explain that.
But I saw you one time at Tel come in.
I didn't do 45 minutes.
No. But they asked you to go on. You're like, no, I don't want to bump anybody.
See?
I was like, wow, really?
Gentlemen.
I'd rather awkwardly give them all cigarettes in the parking lot.
Oh, my
Field
God.
Feel questions about Insomniac.
Dude, I remember that was a...
Bar your cigarette holder.
Louis J. Gomez employee brought the worst people into that ticket. Like street team sales game.
Where?
And whenever you do a show that's run by a street team guy, they have their own night. Like they'll sell tickets for some, like the Laugh Lounge when that existed.
Yeah.
And then on Tuesday night, there would be like the guy who runs the street team show. And he'd be like, will you come to my show? And the whole street team's there. And dude, what was fucking great was all of them. I knew the guy who was in charge, this kid Jacob. But every one of his crew, at one point, he goes, I was smoking cigarettes still. And they go, hey, man, can I get a cigarette from you? I'm like, so I gave one to the first guy. And then another from the second guy. I go, go share it with him, man. I gave that guy one already. And then two more came up. And then one of them's girlfriend came up and asked me. And I said no to all of them. And I was like, but they were interrupting me every minute without a doubt.
Sure.
So then that guy, Jacob, comes out. And he goes, hey, what's up, dude? And I go, dude, what's up is, like, you got to talk to your fucking crew, man. Like, comics aren't going to want to come do your show if your entire street team is asking me to bum a cigarette. Every one of them asked me to bum a cigarette. He goes, that's funny, dude. He goes, well, never mind then. I go, never mind what? He goes, I was coming over to ask you if I could bum a cigarette.
Oh, my God. Street team fucking.
And I'm like, you guys are just a bunch of fucking. I go, that is a shitty thing. I go, take your fucking money from selling tickets and go buy a communal pack of cigarettes for all you and your fuckhead friends.
Yeah,
I go,
yeah.
It's uncomfortable to sit here and say no to everybody.
Yeah.
I don't even want to know their names. Or
like heroin addicts and shit. Yeah, it's so fucking retarded.
We never had street teams in L.A.
Nope.
Oh, God.
Where would they go? What's the epicenter to go to?
Maybe Hollywood and Highland, where the Man's Chinese Theater is.
Yeah, well, it's a drive-in town. You know, it's not like a foot traffic town. Like,
well,
this
the Melrose
is.
Improv, I thought they had some kind of thing going.
No,
there.
No, it's all bringer shows.
Oh, okay,
which is the same thing. They just let
they have the Comedy Juice show. That's the big show out that way.
Yeah,
and like that's where you see a lot of drop-bys. And I also feel bad about like going on there, but I try and keep it tight, you know, unless Jeff Ross is around, then we start doing that thing.
Dude, we never had any problem with people doing 15 minutes every night of the week. They can come by every night and it's okay. It's when they start going long or just...
Oh, I was referring to urban acts.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but reparations for slavery include never having to observe a light. That's the only reparations they got.
That's not bad.
No, no, it's worth it for you to go that long. Dude, you might get laid after the show.
Dude, I was just saying, I think I started to tell you this earlier, I was like, there is no... I did that show in St. Thomas. It was an all-black show. There is no job that just looks more tiresome and painful than throwing a black comedy show. Like, wrangling black five black comedians.
One.
Yeah,
producing
wrangling
one.
Five black comedians, dude. All of them have...
Wait a minute. You're not talking about, like, the Lucas Brothers or something.
No. I'm not.
Oh, you meant actual black.
Yes, I'm talking about actual black.
Little Bebop, are you coming to the show soon?
Yeah, but I'm saying it's always that thing. They're always like...
Bumblebee?
Like,
where are you?
Hey, has anybody seen this guy? He's on like, he's the third comic, and the show's getting ready to start. And you finally get a hold of him. He's like, what's up, man? He goes... Hey, man, like, the van left without you. We had to go. Like, where are you? You're on third. I'm an adult. I know what... And he's getting his dick sucked, like, 20 minutes away at some girl's house who says she's going to take... You know what I mean? It's like, he's already fucking late for his spot, and it's like, he's just leaving. He's like, what's the big deal? They're always like, what's the big deal? But they don't care.
I told you, I figured it out.
This show I did, everybody... This is the lineup it was going to be. It was going to be me, Mike Yard... Or Mike Yard hosting.
Yeah.
This guy, Imagine, went first. He's a black circuit comic. Puerto Rican. His name's Imagine.
Of course it is.
His last name is Giving a Shit.
This is great. And then fucking, whatchamacallit. And then Intermission after me.
That's the name of the guy? Intermission, ladies.
And then they come back.
For a while.
Then they come back. Mike Yard will go back up. And then Tony Woods, Donnell Rawlings.
That's a good show.
That is a good
I
show.
I love Tony and Donnell.
I'm just telling you, it's such a... When it's a black... We're in this giant ballroom. It looks like a fucking Tyler Perry funeral. Everything's white, gown, dressed. The sound system's fucking pretty awful. But it's like 1,000 people. And Mike Yard goes up there. He does pretty good.
He's always kind of on time. Mike is like really on time.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. No, he is. No, he's like... But Mike's hosting thing. He brings out Imagine.
Yeah,
Imagine goes up there. Imagine's like his closing bit is like... He has... I don't understand a word he's saying. He just keeps doing something about a Jamaican concert and then it says DJ hit it and then Jamaican music plays. And he like humps his dick at the audience.
Works for me.
Right, no. It's a killer
bit. Sounds like
a
great night of entertainment.
No one's debating.
Can I get my
killer
mom
bit
in there?
But they, the bit was killer. But then they bring me up. I did like okay at best. Intermission, they go up. Tony Woods is like fucking hammered. He does, everyone's supposed to do 10 to 12. He does 45, I think.
Oh, wow.
That? 45.
How can you do that?
And then Donnell goes up there and does God knows how. The show was over 3 hours long.
Wow. And was the crowd there, like the whole way through?
They stayed, but now they're there. But it's just like, and then like in the morning, it's like literally 6:30, we're all going to the airport. We have to be there by 7 o'clock for our flight. 6:30, I'm staying there by myself. I knew that was going to happen. Donnell Rawlings. 6:45, they finally get a hold of Donnell Rawlings, who says, I changed my flight. Didn't tell anybody.
Doesn't care.
Everyone's waiting for it. And then Tony Woods, they call him. You can tell he just woke up. He goes, Oh, yeah, I'll come up. And then as we're driving to the airport running late, he goes, I changed my flight last night, but I'm going to go there and, you know, see if they'll let me on anyway. I mean, that's like how and I'm so like, what's my flight number? Dude,
yeah,
is someone definitely picking me up, take me to the airport, or should I set up a cab now? Like, you know, but the night before, because I'm like, white. And like, it just looks like
Jay, it sounds like you're uptight and you have a problem with some brothers. I mean, I the racism I'm getting from you right now is,
first of all, Sterling.
I hope people listening understand I'm not a part of it.
Well, Ari had a great theory today.
They're bred to be late.
Well,
slavery,
I'm late.
There's no time in slavery. 4 o'clock. Who cares?
I'm also
more physical labor for no reward.
Listen, I'm also late for everything, so I don't want to. I wouldn't make it a matter. Ari just upped the racist ante like 20 degrees.
They're bred to
Jimmy the Greek of showtimes.
I like how like they're late, but you throw in there like he's getting his dick. It's like he probably was playing like some game on his phone, you know,
give
or like
too much
some weird like chat, like Skype chat
Angry
with some
Birds
chick
light.
In St. Louis.
It's
show me your tit.
It just looks, dude. When I did BET's Comic View the second time,
they asked you back.
I did it three times.
Yeah, you really are like you have that urban like you can you know play both sides of the fence. I like that.
Not anymore, really. I guess.
Well, let's say we had like a comedy Olympics. Could I use you as like you know we had to go up against like you know oh shit we're in Cleveland.
Jay,
yes.
Jay is the white version of a Jamaican bobsled team.
Put on your Farrell hat and get out there and do your thing. I'm talking the Comedy Olympics, not the cock block Olympics that goes on at the Cellar.
The Comedy Olympics.
It is hilarious to watch guys out there try to get laid.
Dude, when I did BET's Comedy the second time, this girl, when I went outside to smoke a cigarette,
yeah,
there was a white girl who was like a production assistant or whatever, and it was, I was the only white comic that day on the shows. And I'd go, I'm going to go smoke a cigarette. She goes, oh, okay, well, then wait a second. She goes, everybody, go out now while Jay smokes a cigarette, and then when he comes back in, everyone's got to come back in when he comes back. And I'd be like, why would you put that? And then she goes, by the way, she goes, I'm going to give you everybody's meal tickets, and then when it comes out.
You're in charge now.
I go, you're making this. Yeah, I go, you're making me very uncomfortable, lady. Like, these are all grown men. But she goes, but I'm telling you, no one has their ticket when it comes time to eat. And then five guys, they walked off with some girls, and they came back like 3 hours. And it's like, it just sounds like a fucking nightmare. Because none of them are the comedy is so the comedy is so secondary. That's why, dude, you got to watch this kid. I'm not going to say a name, but you got to watch this kid in Arsenio Hall
or
wing it. It's one of the
I saw it.
It's
insane.
Sounds like a great reality show. I'm putting my Jew's eyes on this. Let me focus my
you saw what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Are you blown away? Like who? What producer was like, go ahead, go wing it. Go give it a shot.
Well, it's called confidence, Jay, and swag.
But he
just because he's got swag, you got to hate on
but
him.
But he eats shit.
I know, I'm joking.
What, on Arsenio?
Yeah.
I want to do that show. That would be definitely...
He tries to wing
really?
It.
Did you do the old one?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I watched it a bunch.
Me too.
I thought you were New Kids in the Block.
I was.
Remember when Dice did crowd work on that show?
No, I don't remember that.
No, yeah, did he really?
Wasn't the crying episode.
No, that's the pinpoint end of Dice's career as a mega superstar.
So this was great. He did 60 seconds, a couple jokes, and he was like, yeah, come, and they just went out to the crowd.
Was it good?
He had to move. Yeah, he just fucked around with some guy in the front. Look at you, this sweater. You can't combine words.
I gotta watch that. When he cried on Arsenio Hall, it was the end of Dice's. Like,
it was the end of I think the 80s. It was like, it was over, the 90s, whatever.
It was the day Kurt lost his innocence, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I remember him and Don Rivera fighting, and Attell's there going,
I had to do a lot of growing up
stage.
That
I'm like, fuck
day.
You go on stage. I'm watching his fight.
Why were they fighting?
Yeah, that was a good one. That's a comedy score.
Why were they fighting?
Who's it?
I don't know.
Because Dice was on, and Dom had to go,
Dom Herrera?
He had a flight or something. Yeah. He had to go do another gig, and he was like, how long is this? And like, And Dice comes whipping off the stage. You were there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he starts really getting in Dom's face. And I'm like, someone has to be on stage right now.
Yeah, otherwise, there's no host.
Like,
so it's just
looking. There's no one on stage. They hear people yelling.
A ruckus outside.
Outside. So I went up.
Although, if I was in a comedy club and I watched Dom Herrera fight Andrew Dice Clay, I would run outside for that.
Dude, the best,
I think that was the only time I've never been like, I can take the stage right now. And I'm just like, no interest. I'd rather watch
the best argument I've
ever
seen.
In New York, that never would have happened. There would have been a guy on stage. like right away.
To the best comedy and fight I've ever like been privy to was
shoot each other.
Yeah,
it was so great because it's such a fun. They would just both so laugh at this so much because it was like it was over a decade ago. Norton was still opening for Dice, Jim Norton, and he brought a girl into the cellar. Do you remember this at all?
Yeah, Kurt,
he brought a girl into the cellar. It was like you know like a. Like a big
Patrice
titted,
wouldn't
like,
leave him alone.
And Patrice just kept doing Dice. He goes, no. And he goes, don't be out too late. I'm taking you to the mall in the morning. Oh, goes, we're going to get you some new performing outfits.
It was when Spider-Man came out, and he kept calling him Dr. Octopus. Dr. Octopus.
And he just comes over to her and he just gets in between right close to him. She goes, shut the fuck up. I have a girl here. Like, he's so seriously angry. And then just made Patrice laugh harder and bang tables more.
By the way, just a reminder, Comedy Underground, Saturday nights.
A plug.
At 1 a.m. Make sure to set your DVRs.
What week is this?
This will be out on Monday, so it'll be 2.5 weeks left.
Okay, so Monday you can go to Comedy Central Direct since they only play it one time a week. And
oh, really? They don't even play a second time?
Mm-hmm. And we're down to the last two episodes by next Monday. And, you know, thank you guys all for doing it. If you go to my site, davidtell.com, you can see clips, behind the scenes.
You know what they should have done differently for behind the scenes? They should have just left microphones on the tables and then just...
Exactly. You like it raw. You don't like any kind of...
You don't like a weird young guy coming up and asking you to start your conversation over?
Yeah, start
over. Hey, fellas, could you just do it? I missed it.
I had to pretend I was like really genuinely excited to see DeRose. I haven't seen him in a few months. And then 20 seconds later, I was told to pretend to be excited to see him again. Yeah, and I was like, this sucks.
That had a lot to do with bad camera. Like, we didn't have the right cameras and we couldn't move stuff.
Oh, it all worked out.
I mean, you know, if you're going to make me the head of this coal mine disaster, I'm just gonna I followed all regulations. No, I felt bad. And I think Christine will back me up. Is that like... They didn't get it. We got it. And then we were in the situation where, like, who had the power? Yeah. And I could only sulk around so much.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
I was downstairs tanking. Too. You know, so.
But the final product was your vision, pretty much, right?
Well, the vision was basically to take what the special was and bring it into a real club. And the cool thing, since the guy you were making fun of, Scott, who was the director, is that, like, we both were saying, and Jeremy, the editor, is that, like, everybody looks good on the little cameras. Everybody looks good.
Well, that's the best part, right there. Little cameras are great ideas.
Yeah, even that wasn't done correctly because half the cameras didn't work. Half the cameras were out of focus. There was lighting problems. Like, I've said this on, like, 100 hours of podcast now, is that, like, there was serious camera problems all the way through. We didn't have close-ups on you guys. They had moving camera work for no reason. There was a smoke machine in the room. We didn't need that, you know. Like,
but they were able to efficiently get it all in one more day, though. That was pretty great.
Well, yeah, but a lot of that had to do with just me, like, you know,
directing.
I mean, it's commitment because, like, you know, it wasn't about me. It was about you guys. And if it looked half-assed, I would be responsible. And I really did take it seriously. That I was like, if we're gonna do this show, we really should throw everything we got at it and, like, you know, see what the network thinks.
For the record, I love Scott. I think it's funny that Scott can have an IMDb credit as on camera. He was like, he's your on stage guy on your thing, Scott.
Dude, you did something great when you were like, this
I think I gotta go on.
Are they warmed up? I'm like, maybe. Don't and you're like, they don't seem warm up. I'll do 10 more minutes. And I was like, please do. That would be amazing.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't really know. Like, the first guy definitely took the heat on that show because
I'm gonna go do my spot.
Oh.
Go do your spot.
Yeah.
Cool, dude. Should we do like a play by play?
Kurt? I'm gonna go do a spot. It's okay.
Some applauses from you.
So what?
No, I was just gonna say that, like, it definitely was like, I think the crowd was a little too much TV crowd and not club crowd.
Yeah.
And a lot of that had to do with, like, stopping the waitress service and, like, you know, I don't know.
Because they stopped it.
Yeah, they did, because we didn't want to get in the way. But, you know, if it did go further, we would go for the crowd that would come.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes they put overemphasis on.
They really tell them a lot of stuff, like, don't do this, don't do that. And it really takes the fun out of it.
I was at Hannibal's taping in Chicago, and the lady was talking in the back. She goes, I told those motherfuckers up front that if they were going to sit up front, they couldn't leave the whole time. But I'm like, so what happens? Who cares if you have somebody leaving? It'll look like someone's going to the bathroom.
You acknowledge it.
Like, what's the difference?
Don't acknowledge it. Acknowledge it.
It doesn't matter.
What? I didn't watch his whole special, but I saw clips, and it looks great. It really did. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's a good theater special. That's, like, what a good one should look
like. No, it was cool. It was a double like, layer. It wasn't too massive.
Mm-hmm.
And it was his hometown, too.
Now, like, Kurt's special looks really good.
Yeah,
and does. Jay, you're like, on deck to do one, too. So now it's, like... You know, venue and style and all that kind of stuff. But the special should be more exciting than like, for a while there, it was like, I got to get the material together, then the venue, and then let them handle everything else. Why do we not be involved in that? We have every right to be involved with it. And like the problem with these specials is like they figured out a cheap way to do it, and it took a lot of the fun out of it. And we're the losers on that. The comedy audience is the loser.
Yeah.
Because like you're taking a guy who worked on an act for a year, 2 years, 3 years, then you put it up there. It looks pretty much like every other special. People watch it, they quote three jokes, they move on.
Then it's done.
This is like a big thing. A movie's an hour and a half. This guy just did original, this woman or man just did original something for an hour. That's impressive, and it should be treated that way.
But you're right. It does. They do move on.
I'm talking about anybody's. I'm talking about like
anybody's
from
stuff.
Jeff Dunham to fucking Chris Rock. Cookie cutter. It all should be.
Not everything fits into the same category. Like exactly. I used to say, like you are my example. I'm like David Tell is not doing comedy generally the same rooms that Dane Cook does.
Exactly.
So why are we filming him in the same spot?
The one thing that like the network knows about these comics is that like you know when they see them live, that live show.
Yeah.
is what they're going to book them on.
Yeah, so you recreate know, that.
A tape or whatever, something like that. That might be the whatever, but they want to capture the liveness, but then they kind of go in the different direction with the production to, like, take some of that away just because it's easier or just, like you see a lot of specials that were, why did they light it like that?
Yeah.
It's so overlit. It's like, I'm not having a good time, and I'm in my house. I'm not wearing my pants, and I'm watching.
That one with the cartoon behind you or the atomic boom behind you, which one was that?
That one.
Comedy Central. Half hour.
Yeah, like, I would say that, like, you know, whatever, besides the Skanks for the Memory thing, that, like, the majority of the stuff that I did were really, like, you know, me being a good soldier, going, like, okay, I have the material, and then them doing everything else. After a while, you realize that, like, you know what? It doesn't matter. This is all just, like, momentary anyhow, so I might as well make it exactly how I want it. And Doug Stanhope is the guy that I look to, because when I saw him shoot that one at Gotham, I was like, what the fuck is this about? Because it was overlit. It didn't look good. They had a mirror on the ceiling for some reason.
Yeah, that was like, tough. Really weird.
You know what? It's different. It's different. And the material, like, it made the material stand out a bit. But it wasn't like...
He's big on not doing a theater kind of...
Yeah, but visually, it wasn't like...
Yeah, no, you're like...
Dude, Nick Cannon's first special... Forget it.
And by the way, see it if you haven't.
Please. it's the entire bonding experience of me and Dan Soder's whole friendship.
If you want to see a guy take his shirt on and off.
No, it never comes back on, buddy. It's a slow peel down out of a tuxedo. It is fantastic. And in the second special, he added gloves to the mix. Leather driving gloves.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean,
but there's a difference between...
I was going to say about the Nick Cannon thing was, the backdrop on his first thing, and this is like produced by like New Wave, Barry Cat, Volkweiss, these guys who have been involved in a lot of specials. His backdrop is a grid of like 1,000 small light bulbs. So when they have up on him, and he's very mobile, he moves. Yeah. When he moves, and if your eyes just focus weird, and it'll give you a fucking seizure. It's so difficult. It's like, why would you have anything that distracting? When he moves,
focus.
The lights are like
to watch comedy and crump while I watch.
No, but the lights are like trailing as you have to like look away. It's like almost like nauseating.
We had one of those disco balls once at a show in like middle California. We're like, can you turn that off? Like, no, it looks awesome. I'm like, no, man, it's not great.
There were some definite lighting problems on the Comedy Underground show, and you know when you talk about specials, there's like. There's always that moment of, like, you know, you're a huge comic. You're a touring, like, you know, celebrity comic. You know, you've done, like, three movies or whatever. It's like, this is an event. And, like, you know, they pump up the crowd so much. And then the guy comes out and he does his poor material. And you're like, I'm not saying the material is good. It's like, the material is good for this guy. It's just the crowd has been pumped to the point where you're like, oh, this is bad.
Yeah.
I heard Stanhope said
that at the one of his tapings.
Really?
They all went crazy. He's like, here he comes. Doug Stanhope. They all went nuts. And he's like, thank you. Hey, what's my name? And he just put it out to the crowd, and they all looked at him. He said he thinks he might have queried them a little too much on that, like right off the bat.
It doesn't matter because there's the event like where you're going to do like stunts and you have fire and all that kind of stuff. And then you have to do your act. It's like, why would you make that? Why would you actively make something hard to follow on your own special?
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was like
you know, it's
have
like,
a guy juggle lions.
Yeah,
and then I'll
like,
come
you
know, out.
My girlfriend told me to go to Bed Bath to be, you know, it's like, it's weird. Like, the material never matches.
Why does McDonald's say super size?
I saw Dice's last run at the Garden.
Yeah.
But that's when he was with Norm.
No, no, but it was a really event. But it is so funny, though. I like this, how subtle he comes out, because it's like, it's a song he made, it opens to, with a whole video retrospective of his career.
Oh, that thing.
And then he comes out and still have, like, take that 5 minutes of, like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
like just chilling. You're like, what is he doing?
But like when Dane did, you know, his big thing too. You're like, this is an event, and the crowd was pumped for it. And I was like, this is all good. And then because it was a long, it was you have to do a certain amount of time. It goes back to material,
right?
So it's like. It's like, you know, I felt bad because I was like, you know, you want to keep that energy. Like,
but
you don't
it can't possibly stay up that, you know, that much.
Like, if you went to go see the Stones play, you don't want to see at some point, like, them just going, like, okay, we're just going to all check our phones. Yeah. You know, like, come on, we're old men.
Well, that's what I did. Yeah. Well, I did comedy in front of those, like, bands with those, like, those big amphitheater crowds. It is funny to kind of, like, it's so not comedically rewarding because you really do have to go, it's like, so you guys out here ever have a threesome? You have to, like, really like, yell the shit at them and, like, so much is lost in comedy in that.
So much in that massive places. Do any of you guys do the Oddball Tour?
No, I'm trying to. I'm
thinking of doing it. But
next year? Yeah. I wonder what it's like in front of 20,000 people.
Is that really the number?
Ren Azizi showed me a picture of it. I did it with those bands, dude.
But I'm saying that's actually... It's
you view it as combat comedy, though.
I see it that way, too. Outdoor comedy doesn't work for me.
It is sort of combat comedy. But you could destroy it, dude. When you kill it, it's great, though, man. I only have like one or two of them go bad.
Yeah, but what is killing it? You really don't know in an outdoor thing.
You don't know, but I'm telling you, if you hear 5,000 people, the wave of laughter is humongous.
Here's my thing, though. It's like
you got to feed off that. You can't look at faces. You have to feel the laughter. You have to get to a punchline and feel. Because if you look down, you're just going to see a lot of people not paying attention.
But comedy's by the numbers. It's presented differently in those giant places. So it's like to film some half-hour guy doing a, you know, in front of 1,300 people his first time. It's like he's going to have to slow down, not be his normal self.
You got to, you're right. There's a lot of
it's like they're different delivering it differently. Yeah.
And I don't think I'm a 20,000 guy funny kind of guy, but I won't do it.
But don't you even feel
right?
Your energy is different from Captain Miserable to road work. Like
my energy.
Your energy on stage, I'm saying, because of what it is, because of the way you're performing to like someone who's 10 feet in front of you, or not even, versus someone who's like, you know, 100 feet in front of you.
When you watch really good theater comics like Lewis Black or, you know, Ron White, even like Louis
C.K., sure.
Yeah, like they bring the crowd in. Like Chappelle is like a master of bringing the crowd right in, where no matter where you're sitting, you feel like he's talking right to you. That's a skill. That really is. Dice, like that makes it an art.
Dice said he would just talk to his four friends that he imagined in the back.
Yeah, but he also is a bigger-than-life character. So, like, I feel like he holds the stage just fine. Like, when Dane moves, he holds the stage. I always say he's a great performer.
Yeah,
man.
He's a great performer.
He really uses the stage. When you're on a theater, like when we've done these theater shows, don't you feel this urge to keep moving around? You're like, look at all this theater.
There's so much space.
But I fight there. That's why I sit.
That's good that you do that, because that's how you do it.
Focus them in on you.
Yeah, then they come to you.
I was always surprised that Patrice made such a concerted effort to not sit on Elephant in the Room.
Really?
Yeah, he made a decision. He goes, I'm just not. He sat every set he did for for the last like couple weeks leading up to it. He started delivering the hour standing up and then just decided to do it that way.
Huh.
I was always surprised by that.
I also thought he also really captured, like when I would see him, you know, in a club or something like that, he really did like have a great stage presence because he's a big guy. You know, he's a big guy, and I never was like, you know, like sometimes with a big guy, especially the way he talks, you're like, is this intimidating? And it's like, not really. It's not really intimidating.
No, he's not.
He wasn't like that.
No,
he was definitely not a crowd work guy, but he would work the crowd. But he wasn't all like you and you. He wasn't that kind of guy.
No, not really. He would wait for the people to. He would wait to see who responded to his. You know, inflammatory statements.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh,
so you say somebody goes, you know, he'd be like bitches hate fun. And he's wait for some girl to be like, that's not true.
Then
and
he don't think it's true.
Yeah, then he goes,
because
then he likes the debate.
Right.
He'll just pick a point and just go at it. Yeah.
The only thing I didn't like at the hotel taping was this lady kept trying to make me sit. I knew you were doing 10 minutes. She goes, all right, you're next. So sit right next to the stage.
Yeah, they didn't
and
get
I'm
it.
Like, no. Are you crazy?
They didn't get the fact that, like, you know, eventually you have to, like, let the show be what it is.
A show.
Which is, like, if that, even if you were in the wrong place, there could have been a great moment there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, the one thing that I would say that I'm pretty good at is, like, taking what's happening right now and trying to turn it into something.
Way to saunter.
Yeah, and, like, I really do like that. Mm-hmm. And Jay is the same way. We're, like, trying to make this moment something. And if they were trying to make it, like, you know, Evening at the Improv or something like that, that really bothered me when I saw that.
Her hand was in my back as I was going to the stage. She was pushing me in the back.
10, 9,
like,
8.
Get out of here. It's not like a rodeo. It's not like they're pushing you out on a bull.
You ready? Like, he's ready.
Like, the first thing any of us learned how to do is walk to the stage. We've got that covered.
But they just get, you know what it is, man? There's so much, like, it's such a world that if you don't even give a shit to care about, like, you won't. But it's so, like, there's so much union shit, and everyone's got to be done at a certain time. They're so far beyond giving a shit about how good the show is. Always like, gaffer has to be done at fucking 11:15 or we're fucked. Right. And then there's everyone, and then there's 15 people making time and a half, and that makes people angry, and you won't get to use them another day. It's just like weird shit like that.
The good thing about like that show especially was like, you know, like I'll ask the crew, and like I'll see, like I'm listening to everybody, so I'll be like, you know, if I can see them laughing and having a good time with it, then I know that, like, we're on to something. Because they see a lot of stuff.
Oh, right.
And, like, to get them to actually come out of the job and actually, like, kind of enjoy it, that's when you know that it's on something. And I also knew that it was besides being uncensored, it was really good comedy. Like, I mean, like, I know the acts. And, you know, Christine also, like, will back me up on this, is that, you know, at some point, like, you know, we had trouble, like, scheduling some, like, we needed closers, and we all also wanted all these, but I was never really worried, because we were, like, a block away from the Cellar, so I could have, like, made a phone call, and, like, three guys could have come over and done 7 hard minutes, because it's not like we were out, like, in Burbank, and it's like, oh, on who are we going to get? You know, it was different.
They could just get off the train and go over there.
Yeah, like, you know, whatever it would be. It's like, I just knew that we had plenty of choices.
Yeah, it was a talent pool where it's like, you could have done another season. Like,
yeah, right there.
From,
yeah,
from like 15 minutes away.
You pretty much did. I mean, if you just take the Jeff Ross stuff, that's a whole other season. Just those things.
The good thing about that was that, like, you know, it's good when we have that thing at the end, and Jay and I were talking about it, is like, because that's something they really don't do on other shows, which is like really... Let the guys have a victory lap, but it's more about them mixing it up. And some people are better at it. Some people were uncomfortable. Sure. But at the end of the day, it's like the fans like it. They like when the comics talk to each other, we're doing now.
Yeah. Yeah. But seeing you...
It's why the podcast has gotten so popular.
And it was you and Jeff on stage together. I guess you did it all the time. It was the first time I saw it.
Yeah, we do it a lot. Yeah.
But I was like, man, if you're a comedy fan, this is a humongous moment to just have roasting members of the audience.
And, like, we want to, you know, like, we always go to Titan because that's the thing of editing. It's, like, really good editing will save any show, you know?
Yeah.
It'll save it. It won't make it better. It won't make it great, but it will make it better. That's what I'm trying to say. But, like, you know, the editors who did it really knew comedy, and they had to listen to everybody's elongated sets and, like,
Des,
you know,
who did it?
Network.
That was Jeremy, yeah?
Jeremy, and, like, yeah, there was so many other good guys.
He did
Steve,
great, man.
And, you know, there's a whole bunch of them. But the point of it was that the network, they also wanted everybody's sets to be like, you know, they didn't want to get the rep of like, we cut guys' bits and we used the setup here and then we went to a punchline. And like I said, you know what, I know what a strong set is and I know what one isn't. And like, you know, I thought like what we talked about is like, I know how comics are. It's like, you don't want to burn material unless you have to. So like, you guys came up there and like, you rolled through it and then you rolled through some other stuff. And like, at the end of the day, like, I just had to make sure that like, it was a strong set. And that, like, everybody wasn't talking about the same thing.
Yeah,
you
sure.
Know? So,
you know, I've done, I guess, like, the it's the benefit also of, like, knowing you personally. Because, like, I did Premium Blend, and I did a thing on HBO, the P. Diddy thing, and the thing on Showtime. And I've never gotten a call after I taped it. Even about the show coming out. I just had to wait to commercial, let alone get a call from you being like, how do you feel if we use this whole thing? You were very open. Like, you really let the comics have some word in, like...
Oh, absolutely.
They should, because they know more what's important to them.
Yeah.
If there's a key line that might not be the funniest, but he goes, no, I want this line in because it really says everything I want to say. Yeah, they should get some say.
What the fuck is that? That's a really bad problem.
Oh, wow.
What happened, dude?
It's pouring water from the ceiling. Pouring water.
Wow.
Oh, that's a real fucking...
Where's it coming from? Somebody's tub up top?
Somebody's dead in a tub. Paul's there. I've seen this on Law and Order.
Paul's right there. I love those beginning of Law and Order. Well, Charlie, maybe...
What's happening?
Newspaper.
That's bad, huh?
The in-laws always want me to... Whoa! Call the cops.
I'm around if any of the waitresses need a hug.
You know what I like for your show, too?
Me? Did it need go on?
I'm at the end.
Who's on now? For a couple of minutes, sure, yeah.
Okay, great.
Oh, thanks. But, dude, what do you want to do?
No, we can finish it. That's
okay, cool.
But, again, don't forget to watch Comedy Underground. Saturdays at 1 a.m. Saturday
go,
night,
thank
1 a.m.
I know I went against your to plug like that, but thank you. And thank you guys for doing it. And for those listening, thanks for watching.
I think it's cool that it happens. Even if I wasn't on there, it's better for my style of comedy that shit's presented to people.
And can I do a shout-out? Because in 2 weeks, it will be close to Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Operation Purple. This one's for the troops sending their kids to a summer camp, special camp for them. It's a great cause. For those of you who've already donated, thank you. I'm giving my own money. This has nothing to do with,
what's Operation Purple?
Yeah, it's Operation Purple.
It's cool,
is a camp for the veterans, troops who have been deployed multiple times. The kids go through special problems, so it's a really great camp for them. All these great programs, and it's with the for those of you who know what I'm talking about, this is like time to remember.
How do people give money?
Their service. They can go to my site again, davidtell.com, or just go hashtag Operation Purple, and they'll see all my stuff.
It's going to be effective this summer, right, for kids? Like you're going to be able to go this summer.
I'm already giving money, and I'm going to give more at the end of this run of the HOs.
Is it your charity, or is it your charity of choice?
I did the benefit in person. There was a low turnout. It really bothered me. So
right.
Yeah. Huh. So I said, I'm going to... talking about myself, but I was like, if I get to like get the word out on this operation,
and you've done something.
That's a really awesome cause, too. Right.
Are you guys going to be anywhere in the next month?
I'll be in Raleigh next weekend, and then Buffalo Helium.
Okay, davidtell.com for tickets.
June, I'll be at the Atlanta Improv.
In June, at the Atlanta Improv. The
yes,
Improv
indeed.
In Atlanta.
I believe. Maybe it's the punchline.
Maybe it's the punchline.
Or is it is it the other thing?
Probably the punchline. Oh, yeah. Justin, get you that? It's a punchline.
Yeah, punchline?
I really appreciate you having me on. And the other
You're welcome.
Guys. Really
I'm glad you could do it. And that's it, you guys. I'll be in China. To see my tour dates. And and Chicago in August for one night.
Failure is always the best way to learn. Retracing your steps till you know. Have no fear, your wounds will heal. Failure is always the best way to learn. Retracing your steps till you know.
Well, there's the episode that I did not get. What'd you guys think? Still fun, right? Anyway, yeah, you saw how I tried, and then it just clearly evident it wasn't going to happen, so I just pulled off. I should have B game plans, like a B plan. So if the A plan doesn't work, the B plan can still work. I went canoeing. It was so goddamn fun. What a beautiful day. Found an apartment in New York, you guys, too. Found an apartment in the East Village, a block away, a block and a half from Jay. Oh, it'd be perfect. It's an 18-minute walk to the Comedy Cellar. 19-minute walk to the Stand. Psh. I mean, I can't ask for any better than that. Location-wise, that's goddamn perfect. In Manhattan. Fuck. I'm happy. I just got the call. I got to go sign the paperwork on Tuesday. All right, that's the episode. You guys, do not forget to check out or give Dave's, charity a chance if you're a charity giver. And don't forget to watch the show on Comedy Central. And also, don't forget to get Believe in Yourself, the new CD by Sam Tripoli. The new album, I guess, because the format, who knows what it's on. The new album by Sam Tripoli, Believe in Yourself. You guys, pick it up. It's the best way to support comedians who are going to need it. I guarantee you, Jim Gaffigan, Bill Burr, Louis C.K., they want you to hear their shit. But the $5 or $10 ain't making a huge difference to them. Sam Tripoli will eat on a day. With those 10 bucks or however much his CD is, he will honestly get a meal out of it. So pick up Believe in Yourself. He's on All Things Comedy. He's my brother in that. He's my friend from Punch Drunk Sports, and he's known him for 14 years, and he's one of the comics I look up to. You guys will absolutely love it. I've heard the CD, and it's great. I got the actual CD itself. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 167. A complete failure on my part. Shows that I'm a loser with this stuff and that I cannot figure it out. I'm learning, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a podcaster. I'm a comic. I mean, I don't know. I'm just guessing the podcast shit. All right. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 167. Swing and a miss with Dave Attell. Kurt Metzger and Jay Oakerson. Over and out.